You're serving God on a Sunday, and that's enough, because every other day of the week is you trying to be God's child in a crazy world. You get back, I need to get back to my work. I need to get back to this. I need to get back to that. Yeah. God didn't ask you to meet with him on Sunday. What he's saying is, I want to serve all those places that you go to. I want to serve them through you. The idea of gatherings have always been.
Yeah.
Right? So whether you were gathering in the temple or the synagogues, or you've now left them to be in the community of those who now say Jesus and still go to the temple or synagogues. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing that was something that humans had.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What became interesting was when people were now called, you know, like, so before when you tell somebody about Jesus, they could go and say, oh, I'm free, you know, no. But what you found was, which was the irony of it, was what when people were now called into Jesus, they saw coming in, joining that physical community that they were a part of, was what the call was about.
Okay.
So it's very important to see that people, there was then a time where it was no longer, oh, go, you know, that was why I painted the picture at the beginning. That what was supposed to happen is the 12 tell the 3,000, the 3,000 go to tell the 7,000, the 7,000 go to tell the 5 million, the 5 million go to tell the 1 billion. That was what was supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But people didn't take that as their life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, let's just keep going and go and be spreading the good news. Mm-hmm. Let's just be going. No, people still had lives. They still had families. They still had things that they were doing. They had lands. They had ties to where they were.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the importance of that? It was to continue to be together and fellowship in such a way that, and I use the word fellowship, so that we are kind of like caring for each other, but it's so that we have the long-term vision in mind. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were doing. But what then started to happen as people started to go on was, oh, are you now part of Jesus's camp? Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought they were meeting there. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. They first called them Christians because they're like, these people have been with Christ. But later, it now became somehow, it's human. It's very human for us to do. Somehow it became, oh, if you're a Christian, how do I know you're a Christian? Oh, it's because she's there in the assembly of them. But the assembly that they have was not what made them Christian. The assembly that they have was something that they have found to be needed because they share a common faith. It's something that they have found to be needed because they can encourage each other. It's something that they have found to be needed because they can provide for each other. Do you get what I mean? Because they had a common interest,
mm-hmm.
right? But that common interest was not so that it can give them a new identity. It's so that they can love each other in the way that the world that hates them, because I know what I'm saying probably just sounds a bit bizarre, but if you get it, then you get it, right? These people had a unique belief. If you stepped outside of that community, it was a different belief. If you went out and you said, oh, you are Jesus's camp, the world outside hates you. This is like your refuge. It's like when people are in war zone, and mm-hmm. then this is your camp, you know, your camp base or something. It's not your home. You are working. This is just your base. You have a work that you're going to do. You didn't come to dwell in the base. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they had the base, which was good, which is good. But they were not to live for the base. What then started to happen was people then started to judge who they were by how well they were in the base and how they were doing with the base.
Right.
But that wasn't what you were called to. What you were called to was to go into the world. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you're the one not going to Samaria. Because if what had happened was everybody got it and they went away, it will look a little different. Because it will be like, you know that woman, the Samaritan woman, she went away, said, come and see the people, the man who told me the story of my life, right? And the people came. And then you saw the people that kind of like with God and everything. And then a few verses later, they said to the woman was like, they said to the woman, I know we came because you said we should come and see him. But man, we are staying because, wow, we've experienced him and we believe. We are not believing because of what you told us. We are believing because of what we've experienced. Now, the thing is, somehow, because human beings had rituals, teachers, they had all that understanding, the things became we believe because of what you told us. But he didn't call them so that Peter can teach them. The Holy Spirit was going to be the teacher. But he told Peter, when you have received your strength, give them food, because my shepherd, do you get what I mean? Mm. They will be hated by this world. So yes, it was nice that we have a camp where we can all feel refreshed. We can all feel, but we are not made for that camp. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
You are not made for your Sunday worship.
Mm.
It is great that you have a camp that you go to on Sunday where you can feel like, oh, we all belong here together. We all feel this. We all do that together. But you were made to go to Samaria. You were made to go to the ends of the earth. The other things that you do outside the walls, that's what you were made for. Jesus didn't need you to come into the... Which is why I established... I know I took a lot of time to establish how community formed and how community became important. If you go out, they're going to ask you, whose camp are you? Are you going to deny Christ? Also, you can come back and say, oh, do you know they asked me? I didn't deny. Oh, good. That's great. Since you didn't do that, that's good, because that person is going to tell somebody else. They were literally living to strategize how to spread the good news. They were not leaving to say, oh, how is my choir songs going to bless God today? That's not what they were leaving to do. They were teaching each other, like, the truth about the nature of God, the things about the nature. You see, you saw a place where it says Paul was speaking for 3 days straight and somebody fell down from, you know, that was on top of a house, fell down. Yeah. He wasn't, the conversation he was having there was not, he was revealing Christ. And the idea is so that when the people finish from there, they can go and reveal what they've heard. It's not so that they can come tomorrow again and come and listen to Paul. But was it important to have a community? Yes. Because if they're all in the same area, and they all go to do something, it's nice to come. It's human need to come and eat together, to come and, you know what I mean, celebrate, facilitate around your shared interest.
Mm-hmm.
So how is something that's supposed to be good that we have? You know, it was necessary that we put it in place. How did that become what our faith is all about? How? That's where we need to go back to. When you go to church on a Sunday, ask yourself, why am I here? Because Jesus didn't save me to be here. It is important I'm here. Because I love that I can talk to you more. We speak the same language. We go through the same thing. You can tell me about the love of God that you've experienced this week. You can tell me everything. And that lights me up. I'm like, yes, he's still doing something. Tell me about the tremendous way you loved somebody that was unlovable. You reached out to somebody that was unreachable. You tell me about that and I'm encouraged. But how did it become that you have to come to me? And what I need from you today is feed my soul with a sermon that you heard about God, what God wants to do in my life, so that I can, you know, be all good. And then on Monday, I get back to my normal work. Something went missing. Something went wrong. And what went wrong was people started to leave for the community. They weren't leaving. They didn't allow him to take them so that he could go reach the end of the world. They didn't do that. So you can't say, how can we have faith past Sundays when people don't understand, or when people are not able to challenge, what are they doing on Sundays? What are you doing on Sundays? When you know what you're doing on Sundays, perhaps you can ask yourself, what does faith look like beyond Sunday? Because Sunday is not a special day than any other day.
Mm. I think it was very useful, you know, us looking at what the purpose was, how it started, what it has become. But I also think that that was really helpful. And I think, you know, it was really good that we ended up going that way. But I also think that we're also in this, the current atmospheric generation we're in is, I don't think too many people are going there just to be fed. It's just how to carry on. So yes, you've received that encouragement or that hope, or you're ignited and you want to be able to, you want that to manifest in every interaction that you have. And somehow you get in your way because of the things that you're not seeing, the things that you're not taking hold of, the things that you feel are indicative of you having been ignited.
Yeah, but nobody ignited you to do stuff by yourself, though. Right? Nobody.
I think that's more like where the conversation for us now.
Yeah, the reason I'm saying this is because let's look at ideal world now, because I know a lot of people will feel like I'm dreaming now, but let me play that dream, right? Mm-hmm. If you and I are in Christ and we're brothers, literally family, if I have something that you need, what would I do? I'll share it with you, right? I would give it to you very freely because I know you need it, right? When you have something that's an obstacle that you have to face tomorrow, we are both in, and you meet up with me today, you're like, this is what I'm struggling with. I would help you in that. Mm-hmm. It means that of the multitude of grace I have received, I will share with you. Right? Mm-hmm. So the frustration you're feeling now, that you're saying, it's still the limitations I have, is making me feel those frustrations, is because the people that you have come into the same faith with, that are supposed to be your sharing together, your loving together, no, they're not doing that. So you feel like you're doing world alone. But you really shouldn't do the world alone. You really shouldn't be in a position where you're hungry and you cannot go and knock on somebody's door and say, I'm hungry. Even when he was telling him about, he said, okay, just go. Don't even take money. Don't take anything. Just go. Anything they give you to eat, eat. He's trying to paint a picture. Like, knock on people's door. If they give you a room, just enter. Sleep there. What he's trying to do is dissociate yourself from things that will want to weigh you in such a way that you are unable to live the life that I have called you to live freely. Don't entangle yourself with things that will start to make you feel like, oh, I don't have a roof over my head. It's fine. Go and sleep under the tree. No, I know what I'm saying is crazy. But really, the reason it is important for us to see is crazy so that we can also look at ourselves and be able to boldly say, this is why the grace of God has been poured out. Because you know more. You will never really want to live the life I just described now. You will never really want to do it. Nobody would ever really want to live that life. So it's okay for us to admit we've got a bit of self that we need to satisfy. But that's not a God problem. And he doesn't have a problem with you having it. They described something there. They said they all brought what they had and they all shared it very freely. But it was only a matter of time before that wasn't sustainable. Because a self will come in, like Ananias and Sapphira. It's, you know, like, I can't really share like everything I have with them. I'm gonna bring half of it. And it's okay if Ananias and Sapphira wanted to bring half. But it's the fact that you know that what you're doing is, you know what, I can only commit to Sundays. I can only commit to being in the hospitality team. I can only commit to that because that gives me a sense of me serving God. But when you say that my entire life is God trying to serve the world through me, that's a bit confusing. Because where is my life? Where is my life? So the problem you're having is not that you... It's not that you don't want to serve beyond Sundays. It's because Sundays give that service on a Sunday. It gives you like a check. I've done it. Somebody may say, oh, but it's supposed to be Sabbath, you know, and I wanted to come to that. Like, oh, it's supposed to be Sabbath, and Sabbath is supposed to be Saturday, and Saturday is supposed to be the day of the Lord. And the reason we do Sunday is because, you know, like we've worked for 6 days, and just like God rested on the seventh day, we are here to rest. Scrap. That God said you should rest on the Sabbath isn't necessarily that you should go for fellowship. That's what people did. Because making that day the day of the Lord and being in the synagogue and doing stuff like that, it's beautiful. The funny thing is those people weren't even only in synagogues on Sundays, on the Sabbath. Because the synagogue has its own place. So if you want to have a gathering of people that you go to, scrap. Why don't you do it on Tuesday? But it's okay because the religion has handed over a Sunday worship that seemed to tick the box. You're serving God on a Sunday. And that's enough because every other day of the week is you trying to be God's child in a crazy world. I need to get back to my work. I need to get back to this. I need to get back to that. God didn't ask you to meet with him on Sunday. What he's saying is, I want to serve all those places that you go to. I want to serve them through you.
That's where the conversation is. So how are we able to carry on being God's child in a crazy world?
Just be God's child. There's no how.
Because the world is crazy. Sometimes it makes it difficult.
Yeah, so you just know that it's okay because the world might kill you. And that's okay if you die. They said, don't be afraid of the people who's going to kill your... They're going to destroy your body. They're going to destroy... Can they kill your spirit? They can't crush your spirit. The world is awful. Yes, you will be a sacrifice in it. That's fine. Those apostles, do you know how old they were? Do you know how they died? You're a soldier in battle. Yes. You got shot, so at some point everyone's gonna die. God wants to feed life to everyone around you, through you. Don't think, what if I get killed? Think, what if he feels all? Be more intentional, be more driven by the work God is doing in every moment of your life and every encounter that you have than the one you're going to go and have with him. It's I know that this episode will probably feel like, you know, like maybe somebody's trying to go, I'm really still not getting it. This is the meat of it.
Mm.
Why Sundays? And why does God feel real on a Sunday to you than he is on other days? It's nice that you can find a place to go to. It's nice. We all have shared common interests. It's nice that when we come to church, you know, the choir can sing and we have the good music. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus didn't give us that order of service. Perhaps if you go to the synagogue, they have the same order of service. If you go to traditional worshiping place, they probably have the same order of service. That's just human. That's just human having an order of service. And as long as we are human, we will always want that. But that's not what he came for. What he came for was to get to the ends of the earth. It says this is what is going to bring an end. It says the good news of the kingdom will go to the end of the earth. I'm sorry that my colleagues, I'm not able to really like just tell them, you know, this is it. Because it feels like when I say it is an invitation to come into the church. But that's not really what it is. If I tell you the goodness of God is an invitation for you to know that you're loved, you're complete, and he wants a relationship with you. Mm. If that to you means coming to the church with me, that's fine. But don't come into a place where you feel like you're alone. Mm. And if you ever feel that way, then talk to me. You can rely on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that the world doesn't put us in a place where we can rely on each other. Because it feels like we are competing for what is available.
Mm.
But he came so that we don't have to compete for what is available. He came so that we can be satisfied in ourselves because we are satisfied in him.
Yeah.
That's what he came for. I see a lot of people talk about the, you know, the battle with darkness, the battle. He didn't call you to fight a battle with darkness. He fought it for you. He did. He fought it for you. And the battles that you're fighting is a clash of unbeliefs that people have that have empowered things that are beyond Christ to have like some sort of thing. And Jesus, Paul said, he said, cast out every imagination that exhausts them more than the knowledge of Christ. You can cast that down. Maybe somebody was saying, maybe somebody was thinking, oh, because we're talking about beyond Sundays, I'm going to talk about, oh, this is what it's going to look like to leave Jesus on a Monday. This is what's going to look like to leave. No, no, no. What is going to look like to leave Jesus on a Monday will only happen if you really have Jesus in you and Jesus is living through you. If I tell you, it's just another tick box. And he didn't come to give us any boxes to tick. It says it's by your fruit that you will know. The thing that we're supposed to do together, you and I, is to water each other, to tend each other. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what the fellowship is supposed to do for us. But somehow, no, something else took over that fellowship. You're supposed to be able to help me in areas that I need help with. And I'm not talking about that just like physical help or mental help. So I'm talking about even if my understanding of God is a bit skewed, you're supposed to help me with it. So that when you come to me and go, oh, the enemy is trying to raise a standard, I'm like, no, the enemy has lost his battle already. It can't be raising a standard against you. And if that even seems to be, you've been given the grace to walk on water. What do we want to do? Do we want to sleep in the storm? That's what we've been called to. But the problem is we are unable to separate the mission of going into the world. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And the resistance we feel from the world, we're unable to really like deal with that. So we run to the safety of the church. It feels safe there. It feels like God is there. It feels like that's where God needs to be. He's not out there. But God is not in there either. He's in you waiting to be expressed out there.
I was going to say, God is in you. So if you're there, he's there. But he's in you.
He's in you, mm-hmm. waiting to express himself out there.
Amen.
I think I'm just gonna wrap it up there. I'm just going to hang it there and then I'll let you talk because I know I've just been going on because, yeah.
No. I, you know, don't say that anymore. It's not, okay, let's clear the air. It's not about you going on. The reason why we have these conversations is sometimes I'll feel more passionately about something that has really kind of got a hold on me. And I will say it to its extent. The reason why we hold this forum is so that people have the forum to say to that extent, mm-hmm. you are not going on.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying what needs to be heard. And it's okay.
Mm.
So please.
Okay.
Don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? So don't feel like that. I don't want you to feel like that. I think that's why I've tried to establish that it was good that you were able to start us off, to tell us why we got hung up on Sundays. And I don't really have that much more to add, really. I like that we're able to paint the picture that we're stuck on it being a Sunday thing, what we are called to do on an everyday. And I think we just need to remove that inhibition and just say, you know, what I'm doing on Sunday, I'll do it every day with my family, with my husband, with my children, in my job. And it's not a reward scheme. You know, we don't have to get caught up in, if I have been serving God all this time, then he will bless me with the fruit of the womb. So if I'm getting it right, then maybe my child will not be ill. That's not the case. You know, we are just called to do, like you said, you've received something that has made you come alive. And then you go out there and say, I received something that made me come alive. And this carries on, this ripple effect carries on until the ends of the earth. And we know that we have all come alive because there's a lot of work to be done because there's so many minds that have shut down, so many minds that have heard the coming alive of our spirit man because of Christ and don't understand it because they think you've come with a propaganda. Mm. Because you've come with some kind of agenda.
Mm.
You're just joining another Jesus crowd movement or, you know, and because there's so many other schools of thought and it feels like a dividing kind of notion and we want to remove it from that. We're not dividing here.
Mm.
What we want to say is that, like we said last week, that what God did was, if you think that God has judged the world, he's judged the world through love.
Mm.
And that his love is Christ mm. to us.
Mm.
And that we want everybody to know that you have come out of whatever judgment you think you're in because of the love that has been poured on us. And everyone needs to know that, from the least to the most of us. So when we know it so confidently, nobody is telling you about your Father.
Mm.
You know that you know that his love... I just want to tell Illy about the love of God. And Illy wants to tell Mark about the love of God. Mark wants to tell. And so it's not about, oh, the more that I do it, my bank account gets fuller. The more that I do it, I enjoy better health. The more that I do it. You know, some people are doing these things and their lives don't particularly look like it's full. By the standards of what we know, by what, you know, you sometimes read of testimonies of pastors who got cancer and they died. And then you wonder, where was God in this? And the question is, why are we asking that question?
Mm.
You know, so I just want to kind of bring it back home to say that what we are doing is not a Sunday thing. And it's an everyday thing. And it is about every interaction that we make.
Mm.
And that it is not evidenced by how many houses we end up buying or how full our lives become because we're able to go holidaying everywhere or because our children were reaching all the heights or because you enjoy or because your marriage is perfect. So that those are not indications of you carrying the life of God.
Mm.
So if it doesn't look like you're carrying the life of God because things are falling down around you, this encouragement, this hope that we are telling you is that that's no way any indication of you carrying the life of God. You carry on. carrying the life of God, saying that despite what I see, despite what I'm living through, despite of what I am experiencing, I know that I carry the life of God in me. And this life is the life of God. It is the hope of glory.
Mm.
And everyone is a benefactor of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we say, the more minds take hold of it. And hopefully we can see this start to translate in our interactions, because the more that we have these conversations, it becomes more normal.
It's multiplication of grace.
Yeah.
It just becomes more normal.
Yeah. These things, they're not so far-fetched anymore. It doesn't sound like you're being heretic when you say that I don't have to minister on a stage to be a minister.
Yeah. You don't even have to minister on a stage to be a minister.
It doesn't feel like you're shutting down. You know, we'll get so comfortable with the fact that we're not shutting down institutes of religion or churches or whatever you might call it. Nobody's shutting that down. We're just saying that it is beyond that. There's so much more. And we all have access to it.
There's so much more God wants to do. Honestly, God wants every experience that I have with somebody else to be a moment of healing, to be a moment of revelation.
Mm.
I think some people will say, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Where two of us are just talking here.
Mm.
He wants your cafe moment to be moments where love is shared.
Moments of liberation, moments of enlightenment.
He wants that.
Peace, comfort.
So how did he do that? You who are his light, he's put you in different places.
Mm.
You have different experiences. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
What you need to do is break your Sunday mindset. Whatever that thing is that you have, break it. And understand that being a member of God's family, I mean, having a group of people that you kind of like have a shared value with, you know, being that is great.
Yeah.
But that's not the essence.
Yeah.
It's like, again, let's just remember that picture of a soldier in battle. You've got your base. Your base is good. But your base is only as good until everybody needs to get on the battlefield. When you get on the battlefield, it feels like you need a refill. Coming to the next soldier to go, I need a refill. Or you guys can talk and encourage each other. It's great. But it's not so that you guys will stay there, because you guys are on a battlefield. Somebody might ask them, what is the battlefield we're on? A world that is ignorant about the truth of who God is. Everyone have different images of God. People paint different images of this. But a world that is actually really groaning to experience true love. A love so sacrificial, so that you can be a part of it. That's what you're battling. And so every day you see yourself even in a position, you're like, shall I give this love or shall I hold it back? Why should I give you grace? But Jesus said it's okay, because you always come into a position where you're thinking, why should I give you grace?
Mm.
This is the only reason you're given the grace is because you have received it.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason you're given the love is because you have received love.
Mm-hmm.
So please, he's not called you so that you can, honestly, like, I don't mean this in a very bad way. I mean it in a very sincere way. He's not called you so that you can say you can pray for 20 hours or you can pray for 10. He's not called you so that you can say, I spent 100 days fasting. Before Jesus came, Moses fasted 40 days. There were people that were fasting. So fasting is not what he came for. He's saying that there is something about God that you are not quite getting. The fullness of the love of God sends away fear. He's saying you're having fear. There is something about God's love that he wants to share with you.
Mm.
your understanding of God's love brings liberty. He's saying there is something about this truth of God's love and liberty that I want to share with you. He's saying that if you know this love, you will never ever take offense. You'll no longer be offended. There's something he wants to satisfy you with in himself. And he's calling you into that relationship. He's calling you into it. He's saying, I know you can't do it by yourself, but let me show you how much I've done for you. Maybe when I show you how much I've done for you, you've seen how much I've done for you, maybe you can find the grace to share that. So what does living beyond Sunday looks like? Is actually knowing that there is no Sunday. Everything God wants to do, he wants to do in the moment, he wants to do in the second, he wants to do in this. Your fellowship with the privileged people that you have around you, that have faith, the same faith with you and everything, is great. Don't neglect it because you need strength in it. But you're not called to be going there. Please don't neglect the fellowship of brethren, because you need strength in it. There's strength in it. There's healing in there. There are stuff that happen in there. That's true. It's like going home for Christmas. But you don't leave to go home for Christmas. Because Christmas is done, then you go. So the faith that Christ has called us into, it's an everyday, every moment one. I love you. I love the fellowship we have together. But this is not what he's called us to. There's more. There's somebody who needs to experience the fullness of God in you today. Today. It's not living for ourselves. When I go out, there's somebody who wants to experience the fullness of God in me today. Everywhere he went, he was doing well. Good. That's it.
Beautiful. I do feel like we have to say more. Thank you so much for joining us again this week, and I hope that what we've talked about has blessed you or has triggered a thought in you. And we want to hear how you feel about this. You know, what's your perspective? And you know what? We want to hear, because you might have another idea of what living beyond Sunday looks like, and we're open to knowing about it and talking about it. And we want you to talk about it in your own circles as well. So thank you so much for joining us today. Like, share, comment, and subscribe, and we'll see you again soon.
Yeah.
Bye.